Thank you for gathering here tonight to discuss our favorite topic, our life and soul, which is Krishna. Om Jnana Chirmanandasya Jnananjana Shakaya Chakshun Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasa Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When you speak about Krishna, you have everything, because Krishna is the source of everything. Gradually, as our knowledge increases in bhakti, we'll understand that in Krishna's name, in Krishna's pastimes, we have everything. At the beginning of our spiritual life, we take it on faith that yes, Krishna is not different from his name. And if I simply have Krishna, I have everything. That's the first step. But then, as your bhakti progresses, you get more and more realization of how there's nothing more to be had in all the planetary systems except Krishna. And Krishna helps us to attain that priceless realization. How does Krishna do that? He treats us, his loyal devotees, in such a way that we increase our dependency on Krishna. At first, Krishna may seem theoretical. At first, Krishna may seem distant. But as we serve Krishna, we become more and more aware of Krishna's presence and how Krishna has always been with us. We have abandoned Krishna, but Krishna has never abandoned us. What is the proof? That Krishna, as the super soul, the super knower in every body, accompanies us to whatever body our spirit soul takes. No matter how abominable, Krishna goes with us to that body. Of course, Krishna is never affected by any material conditions or material bodies. Still, isn't it a wonder that in our darkness of ignorance and our forgetfulness of Krishna, as we take body after body, Krishna will be there with us as the super knower. He says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanyam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Chaitanyam Bharat. You should know that I am also the knower in the body. It's not just that there is the chaitra, the field of the activities known as the body, and the knower of the field is also the super knower. What's the difference between the knower and the super knower? You know, sometimes in India, the difference is forgotten. The knower and the super knower are considered to be one person, the same. So if you're looking for God, you look within at yourself. But no, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna maintains the distinction. Although the qualitative oneness is there, the distinction is also there eternally. So Krishna says, I am also the knower in the body. The difference is that Krishna never falls into illusion, whereas we are so easily covered by the illusory energy. As we make advancement in bhakti, we start to understand that Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead more than we would ever want. It's like a father who has a rebellious child. The father wants the child to come home and cooperate. But the child is stubborn in his or her delusions of false independence and glory. But the father is longing Please come home. Please come home and cooperate. Just like so many of you have children, you're hoping that your children will cooperate with you, yes? You'll wait and see what the teenage years for the children are like, but you're hoping that they'll cooperate with you. You have children in order to increase the loving exchanges, to feel happy in their company. Similarly, Krishna expands himself into unlimited living entities to enjoy the exchange of rasa, to enjoy the loving exchanges, reciprocation with them. You see, if you say Krishna is Om Purnam, perfect and complete, that means Krishna has to contain both the unlimited and the limited. So sometimes you're wondering, why is it you exist? Why did Krishna allow you to exist? What's in it for Krishna that you exist? But Krishna is complete. That means he contains both the infinite and the finite. Otherwise, he's not complete. He contains the tiny, and he contains the unlimited. Therefore, the Upanishads say that the first step in understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth is to know that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the smallest of the smallest and the greatest of the greatest. The Supreme Absolute Truth is smaller than the smallest as the living entity, the jiva, the tiny part and parcel of Krishna. And the Supreme Absolute Truth is greater than the greatest as the Om Purnam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. How to understand that everything emanates from Krishna? That is a great science. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Matasmritya Gyanam Apoanam Cha. Everything comes from me. But you forget that everything comes from Krishna means that even forgetfulness comes from Krishna. So Krishna has an energy that sponsors forgetfulness. When he says everything comes from him, he means everything. He's situated in your heart. Only by his help, as the superknower in your heart, can you remember Krishna. And only by his help can you forget Krishna. So if any of you have a plan to be a great demon, you need Krishna's help. I hope no one here has that plan. But if you do, you can't do it on your own. This is how helpless we are. Even to forget Krishna, we need his help. We're so tiny. And to remember Krishna, we need his help. Everything is coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the origin of everything, spiritual and material. Mata smriti. That everything comes from Krishna means even Narayan, Namchandra, Braha, Kurma. Everything means everything comes from Krishna. That is Bhagavad Gita as it is. The pinnacle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's perfection is madhurya, sweetness. Krishna contains sweetness in activities that his other expansions and incarnations don't manifest. They are perfect and complete, but they don't show what Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, shows. So as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you call Krishna Narayan, that is not a mistake. Because Krishna contains all possibilities. He contains all incarnations, all avatars. It's just not very precise. And by calling Krishna Narayan, you're missing out on the special characteristics that only Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan shows and manifests. The Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of his flute playing. The Leela Madhurya, the sweetness of his loving pastimes. The Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of his beauty as a young teenager. Understanding how Krishna is the source of everything allows us to handle all the apparent setbacks that are normal in material life. Knowing that Krishna is the source of everything, Kunti Devi was able to say, let the calamities happen again and again. I take them as God sent, because along with the calamities comes Krishna's presence. So if Krishna is coming, how can there actually be a calamity? So, but if you want to call it calamity, let the calamity happen again. But what I'm seeing is that Krishna is coming. Therefore, it's actually not a calamity. Because we simply want Krishna's sangha, his association, all the time. But it seems that, especially when there's some calamity to the Pandavas, especially when Kunti Devi, Draupadi are in danger, Krishna is especially there. All right, Kunti Devi is saying. If that's the case, if Krishna is here even more during calamities, then I say, let there be calamities. This is advanced bhakti. Naturally, in the beginning, you're thinking, I will pray to Krishna so there are no calamities, right? But let the calamities happen again and again? What kind of love is that? How many of you would say to your dearest, your most beloved husband, wife, or child, or mother, let there be calamities so that our relationship will be strong? Chandanishwar, have you said that? If calamities bring us together closer, I say let there be calamity after calamity. Now we are, in the beginning, coming to Krishna with material desires. Oh, Krishna, protect us from material danger, although danger is an inherent part of the material world. Oh, Krishna, please, no calamities. But as we make advancement in bhakti, we accept the basic pragmatic reality that danger and calamity is part of this world. So we want the ability to remember Krishna in all circumstances. That is yoga. Yoga means expertise. We want the ability and the expertise how to remember Krishna, no matter whether there's happiness or distress. Then we advance beyond the neophyte platform. Neophytes are always concerned with making the material world nice, and then there's Krishna. Krishna, help us make the material world a nice place. But that's not possible. And even if for a short lifetime you have everything nice, what happens? You get old, you get diseased, you must die. It's not a nice place. But we are so determined to try to make it a nice place. And we want Krishna's help. Oh, make everything materially nice. Yes, you try your best to make a secure situation in this world. But we should always know the basis of this world is insecurity, instability. Most of you are householders. It's your duty to try to make some stability, some security. But don't get too carried away with it. Perhaps some of you have heard I tell a story how in Perth, Australia, my godbrother Purijan and Prabhu and I were invited to a house opening. A nice householder couple had just moved to a new house, and so they were inviting the devotees over for officially inaugurating their stay in that house. There was fire yagya and so on and so forth. So my godbrother and I were both to speak. So I was perplexed. What should I say? I'm a sannyasi, and this is a function of householder life. What should I say? So I asked this crazy boy, what do you think? What do you think I should say? Should I say, okay, you have your house, now enjoy? You have your house, now work 70 hours a week to pay off the mortgage and quickly. Then when you visit the relatives in India, you can boast, the house has been paid in only 5 years. No mortgage, everything. Everyone looks at you, oh, Mahatma. And then all the relatives, they talk about, our son, our nephew is in Australia. He's purchased a house. Paid off in 5 years. No mortgage. What a saintly family. So what should I say? I was wondering. So then, Grace Burjan Prabhu suggested something. So here's what you can say that will both be appropriate for you to say and appropriate for them to hear. Tell them, be as happy as you can be in a world where there is no happiness. So I said it. And often when I am at such home events, I say that. Many times, though, I can see persons are looking like, huh? Be as happy as you can be. Yeah, we like that part. In a world where there's no happiness? But no matter what ashram we are in, this world is not our home. We're actually strangers passing through a foreign territory. We're transiting. Just like you go to some countries. USA can be like that for citizens. Some citizens of other countries. So Russia is like that. Even if you're just passing through the airport, you have to get a transit visa. At every stage, you're considered a foreigner. So the material world is like that. No matter how long we're going to be here, whether we're a child, a newborn child that dies after childbirth immediately, or we give up this body after 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, still we're transiting. So you can transit this world in different circumstances. But still, you're transiting. Just like, because I fly a lot, I get the frequent flyer status. So I can choose after I go through security. Should I go right to the gate and sit down there? Or should I go to the airline's lounge? So if you go to the airline lounge, you're supposed to feel better. The chairs are more comfortable and... But is it really such a great difference? Whether you sit here by the gate or sit in the airline's lounge, it's just temporary. You're passing through. And the overall experience of flying is always austere. No matter how you try to dress it up and make it better, flying is austere. Similarly, no matter what you do to material existence, to dress it up, to sweeten it, it's always austere. So yes, be as happy as you can be in a world where there's no happiness. How do you resolve that paradox? By putting Krishna in the center of the life. We are not pursuing material happiness because material happiness is so cheap and insignificant. We are pursuing the happiness of giving pleasure to Krishna. We want to see Krishna happy. Now you may say, but Krishna is always happy. He's such an Ananda Vigraha. He's the form of eternity, knowledge, and Ananda bliss. Why does he need our efforts to be happy? Krishna is self-sufficient. He doesn't require anything. But it's best for us to always think of Krishna's happiness. I often explain that Krishna has a particular quality described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as Swaraja Lakshmi. To understand that, first of all, you have to know that Krishna has unlimited desires. And you don't know what it's like to have unlimited desires. Count all your desires. Try to count. How many? You can't get past 10. Even... Even to get up to 5, a little difficult. 10? Get past 10 desires? It's hard for you. But just think, Krishna has unlimited desires. We have no idea what that is like. Not only does Krishna have unlimited desires, but he has the unlimited ability to fulfill all of his unlimited desires. Now, you cannot count how many desires you have because... or you cannot say you have unlimited desires. You have difficulty even counting 10 desires. And certainly, even though you might have 10 desires, what about the ability to satisfy those desires? Just to struggle to satisfy those desires, we have to work so hard. And the satisfaction comes and goes so quickly. But that's all we know. So we say, that's life. Or, I'm just doing my duty. Krishna has unlimited desires. And never the slightest problem or impediment in satisfying any of his unlimited desires. And by hearing about Krishna, by using our senses... to please Krishna, we can enjoy just as much as Krishna. Even though Krishna is the enjoyer and we are meant to be enjoyed. We can taste the same pleasure that Krishna tastes, even though we're so tiny. We do that by always thinking of Krishna's pleasure, how to satisfy Krishna. That is the mystery of happiness in bhakti. So yes, be as happy as you can be in a world where there is no happiness. But in bhakti, there is Krishna's happiness, which you share in. But because we're so attached to temporary material happiness, we're afraid. Although temporary material happiness has bewildered us so many times, we work so hard for it. It comes and goes so quickly. Why not try for Krishna's happiness, our original constitutional position? We want happy families in our Vaishnava community. But happy families mean something beyond material happiness. If we just have materially happy families, that so-called happiness end so quickly. Just like for your children, you have to set the example of spiritual happiness so that your children can have the ability to choose. They are independent. At some point in their life, they will choose whether they want to be Krishna conscious or not. But if you give them a solid taste of Krishna consciousness at home, at least they'll have something to hold on to and remember. It's the parents' responsibility to provide in the home something more than material happiness. That's the real purpose of family life. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Bolidar. Whether you're a household or vanaprastha, whatever ashram, chant Hare Krishna, because then you will taste something beyond just routine material happiness. So we urge you all, please be happy. Yes, we can open the window. We urge you all, be happy. But what do we mean when we say be happy? We spoke this morning about the little children. You're a little child? You like to play, yes?
Not TV.
Huh?
Not TV.
But you like to play with other little boys, yes?
Sometimes, all the time.
But sometimes, yeah. Yes, you like to play also? Yes, he's honest. You like to play, or you're getting too old for playing?
Too old.
Or you like to play sports, yes? Yes. What sports do you play?
Basketball.
Basketball, not cricket. See how the younger generation is deviating already. Basketball, like an American. He's no cricket. So if you try to tell a child, you know, this playing is not... It's not so attractive. It's not what you think it is. There's something beyond that. They don't know what you're talking about. When I was a little child playing with my friends, I was always thinking, why don't the adults play? Yes, any of you think like that when you were children? What are they doing? They look so serious. They go to these jobs. Why don't they just play? Maybe... Some of you can remember some little child. Offers you his toys. It's the greatest thing for them to offer you their toy. Please, here's my toy truck. It's like they're giving you diamonds and gold. Because they cannot conceive of anything beyond that. The essence of life is to play with toys. I'm offering you some of my toys. The ultimate loving exchange. So similarly, we don't know anything beyond material happiness, so we're so attached to it. But by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in Krishna's service, you access a dimension that's beyond material happiness. Simply by focusing on giving pleasure to Krishna. And when Krishna is satisfied, you will naturally and automatically be satisfied because we're part of Krishna. This is the bhakti science. But in the beginning, we're not so sure. We're attracted to the idea of Krishna and the preliminary tastes of Krishna that we're getting from chanting and kirtan and japa, from taking prasad. But the more we engage our senses in service to Krishna, the thicker our realization of Krishna becomes. And yes, bhakti, Krishna consciousness, is about increasingly falling in love with Krishna. Again, reviving our dormant love of Krishna. Let it increase. So we're always on a program for increasing the bhakti. Just like Maya is always on a program to drag us into illusion, similarly, the devotee is always on a program to increase the service to Krishna. You can't stand still. This world is dynamic. The illusory energy is trying to drag you down, and the internal potency of Krishna, the bhakti shakti, is trying to engage you more in devotional service. So you have to choose how you're going to be swept away. What's going to sweep you off of your feet? Is it Krishna's illusory energy or Krishna's internal devotional energy? There is your choice. But we are very stubborn. We think that our material plans are going to satisfy us. Of course, one has to work. One has to go to school. But will material goals satisfy you? Never. Will you simply be satisfied by doing your material duties? Never. So whether you think, I'm doing this material activity to enjoy, or you say, I'm doing this material activity because it's my duty, you'll still never be satisfied. So therefore, Krishna makes his proposal to you in Bhagavad Gita. Act for pleasing me. That's the only way you're going to be satisfied. So we want to organize our lifestyle so that we are increasingly in contact with Krishna. But we want to take some questions tonight. So, remember, Bhagavatam is a collection of questions and answers. And as I said this morning, the questions are important as the answers. In Bhagavatam, you congratulate the question, and of course, you celebrate the answer. Which questions do you have? Yes.
Somewhere I read that Tulsi Maharani stepped out of the house.
That.
But in the heart.
That Tulsi Maharani
stepped out of the house.
It depends on the climate. If the climate is warm, you can keep Tulsi Maharani outside, but not in Melbourne during the winter.
But everywhere in India we saw Tulsi Maharani's Tulsi Chora. There's a specially made pot. Tulsi Chora, called Tulsi Chora.
Yes.
That's why it is always open.
Generally in India, there is the climate, but not here. The householders who are keeping Tulsi Devi, they do the best they can, but they have to make sure that Tulsi Devi is in appropriate climatic situations, whether inside or outside. All right? The main thing is that you chant Hare Krishna in the presence of Tulsi Devi, whether inside or outside, okay? Let's not forget what is the main part of maintaining Tulsi Devi, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the presence of Tulsi Devi. Yeah.
Where do we get our emotions from? If we get it from our heart, then how do we show compassion to Krishna because it's coming from heart, and then heart is also part of material body?
Our material emotions are just perverted reflections of pure spiritual emotions. The spirit soul is consciousness and emotions in purity. The topmost portion of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, is totally emotional. But those emotions have nothing to do with matter. So what we experience as our material emotions, they are just reflections of the original spiritual emotions. You can transfer your emotions from material to spiritual by using your emotions in bhakti, according to the guidance given by the acharyas. So Narottam Das Thakur says, Tam Krishna Kamarpane. You can use lust, the hankering of lust in Krishna's service, by always longing, lusting to engage everything and everyone in service to Krishna. You can be angry. You can use anger in Krishna's service by being angry at those who offend Krishna or his devotees. Or, in general, you can be angry at how society makes it so that people are so in illusion, they don't consider what is the real goal of life. Greed is very necessary for advancement in bhakti. You have to be greedy how to satisfy Krishna. Have you ever been greedy before for something? For what? Like?
Money.
Money. Just can't get enough, right? Your greed for Krishna has to be even much more than your greed for money. But actually, you're not greedy for the money. You are greedy for the options, the freedom that you think money will give. The illusion is that when there's the money beyond survival, we're not just talking about surviving, but we're talking, because you don't simply want to survive, right? You want to thrive. That means you want, in the material analysis, you want options, as they say. You want resources. So that you can always choose what you want for your happiness. That way you'll be the controller and enjoyer. The money helps you control. I have so much money, now I have so much options, so many choices. How great my life is. And that's why we envy those who have more money, because we're thinking they have more options than I have. But what are those options? Have you analyzed? It's like, you are in prison. What kind of mattress do you want? Class C prisoner, no mattress. Class B prisoner, you get a thin mattress. Class A prisoner, you get a thick mattress. Options. No, you should want to get out of prison. How can money solve the problem of birth, death, disease, and old age? It cannot. Over-collecting money leads to problems. We become very proud. We think, now I'm independent, I have so much money. But money cannot purchase even 1 second of time that's lost. Chanaka Pandit says, Ayusha chana ekopi dalabhya swarna koti. You cannot buy back even 1 second of lost time with millions of gold coins. What about that? In bhakti, we are taught not to waste time by using every moment in Krishna's service. Abhyata kalatam, Rupa Goswami says. It's one of the preliminary symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. Such a devotee makes sure that not 1 second is wasted. So only a Krishna Bhakta knows how to really be wealthy. Because we understand what the real wealth is. We know what is time and how to spend it. It's like you look at these little children. You know, they don't know how to manage time. You don't know how to manage time, do you? That kind of innocence or ignorance makes childhood look very attractive, right? No time concerns. But when you become a mature adult, you're supposed to know how to deal with time. But people mistakenly think that because my time is absorbed in making money, therefore, I am expert. That is a big mistake. They don't know what the real wealth is. So our bhakti community is generating real wealth for everyone. Come join this bhakti community. Learn how to use your time. Learn how to become wealthy by satisfying Krishna. And what is that real wealth? The more service opportunities we have, the more wealthy we actually are. The more our taste, our ruchi for chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna increases, the more our wealth has increased. Because that is the real wealth. So I often explain at universities that social scientists have shown beyond a basic middle class standard of living, Western style, Western middle class, beyond a basic middle class standard of living, any further increase in your income does not lead to a further increase in happiness. You know that. Yes, so many know that, but they cannot act on that. Even though they know, they want more. I explain all about this in my book, Hiding an Unnatural Happiness. The false relationship between economics and happiness. So, if you read it, you'll see all this information. By the end of this year, first printing will be sold out. 34,000 copies. Now they are printing again. 47,000 copies. Yes.
So say that you have a pet dog, and then you have to feed it meat, and you give it a live animal to feed on. Is that sin? Because it's benefit for the dog, but you're feeding it a live animal.
Do you have a pet dog?
This sin.
You want to have a pet dog? So why is it such an important question for you? In any case, it is possible for dogs to live on vegetarian diet. I have seen. Okay? Now you are satisfied? You want to get a dog in the future? They're very unclean. You want to keep them in your house? Your mother won't allow it. I remember when I was beginning my Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, and I was living with my father. I had just graduated university, and I was working, and of course, father was working. But the rule of the house was, whoever gets home from work first has to take the dog outside for a walk. So, generally, I was the first person home from work. But then, well, I was starting to listen to the Krishna radio show every Saturday. They would play lecture Prabhupada. And I couldn't understand his accent. I didn't know what he was saying, but I just liked to listen to it. But one thing I could understand, he was saying, just like in New York, I have seen so many persons, they are worshiping the dog. They take the dog outside for a walk. They are surrendering to the dog. When the dog stops to pass, they stop. They think they are the master. They are in control. This is dog puja. I don't know. I cannot do this. One reason I decided, let me move into the temple, be brahmachari. I cannot do this dog puja. I stay with my father, I have to do this puja. So I couldn't understand Prabhupada's accent, you know, his English. But that one thing I heard very clearly. Because I was living in New York. But he was saying, I have seen in New York this dog puja. So you want that? Other questions? Yes?
When you say that we are transiting in this material world, so what does it mean by Nitya Bhaja?
Until you revive your Krishna consciousness, you are considered eternally conditioned. You can't remember when it started. It's like eternity. Can you remember when you were not bound? Okay, so. Therefore, Nitya Bhaja, eternally bound up by material nature. Because you can't remember the end of it. Where it started, you can't remember. And unless you do something to get out of the clutches of Maya, your imprisonment will go on and on. But as soon as you choose Krishna and Krishna's service, then you have a chance to be Nitya Siddha, to be eternally liberated. And once you are indeed Siddha, perfect, then it doesn't matter where you're coming from, whether you were Nitya Buddha before, doesn't matter. Once perfect, then perfect. Sometimes the Shastra for analysis, just for detailed analysis only, points out this devotee is coming from sadhana siddha, this devotee is kripa siddha, this devotee has attained perfection by devotional service, performing the rules and regulations, this devotee has attained perfection by the mercy of the Vaishnava. But the overall fact is, once you have attained perfection, you have attained perfection. Yes.
Gurudev, asking or praying for kind of, you know, material desires to facilitate bhakti, is that still considered?
Give me an example of what you're speaking of.
A house or to facilitate bhakti, to invite, just like to invite devotees and other people and preach, and to have those kind of desires, and we need material things. Is that also kind of...
If one is a householder, generally one needs a house to hold. Those are the basics of life. Whether you have a palace or a shack, it depends on your karma. In either case, you don't over-endeavor for something beyond your means so that you lose your Krishna consciousness. Devotees have different money-making abilities, different financial resources coming from their past karma. So you can't be agitated that, oh, this devotee is driving a BMW. I'm only driving a Holden. If I drive a BMW, so many people will see and become attracted to become bhaktas. So, this is an example of a material desire for facilitating Krishna service. If you can afford a BMW, all right, it's a good car. It won't break down so much. But don't ruin your Krishna consciousness trying for a BMW. It's far beyond your means. And whether you have a BMW or not, your main joy in life is how to use your money to expand Krishna's service. Without engaging the money in Krishna's service, whether you have a BMW or a Hyundai, you will not be satisfied. But by engaging your resources in Krishna's service, whether you have a Hyundai or a BMW, you will be satisfied. So householders can try to be as comfortable as they can be in this world. That's all right. But don't forget, what is your real purpose in life? Don't become entangled in the quest for more and more luxury. Live comfortably, okay, as your means allow. That is all right. Have a house, okay. Have a car, have another car, okay. But don't forget, what is your real goal in life? Anything else? Yes.
But Maharaj, you spoke about the remembrance and forgetfulness coming from Krishna.
Krishna says that in the Gita, yes?
Yeah. And then, even then, why do, like, I want to remember Krishna all the time, but I can't. Every time I'm really, really in trouble, I forget about Krishna. And if I'm really, really happy, I forget about Krishna. Even though I pray for him, pray to him for me to remember him, but I still, like, you know.
The prime method for remembering Krishna is attentive japa every day. Can you do that? There's the problem. If you want to remember Krishna, you have to take Krishna's instruction how to remember him. You cannot impose your own paradigm. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant Hare Krishna, then you'll always remember Krishna. So for japa time, quality japa time every day, that will give you the ability to think of Krishna, whether in happiness or distress. That's why we have that daily practice. Associate with the sound vibration of Krishna's name. And then, throughout the day, all that you do, do as an offering to Krishna. And then you'll remember, I'm doing this for Krishna. Just like the owners of this house, I think. This house is meant to have Krishna in the center. It should be clean. It should be a place where we can invite many bhaktas to come and hear about Krishna. And then, when they think of their house, they're thinking of Krishna. They will think, this is Krishna's house. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa Deha Geha Yogi Chimwa, Akin into your body, Nanda Kishore. Oh, Nanda Kishore, Krishna, whatever I have is yours, mine, body, house, it is all your property. Yes, have a house, but declare it to be Krishna's property by using it for Krishna's pleasure. Good question. All right.
How do you become a Guru Maharaj?
You think this is fun, huh? Would you like to know the secret? Okay, I'll tell you the secret. When you don't have any more problems, then Krishna gives you everyone else's problems. Yeah?
If everything is Krishna, how do you keep your feet away from it?
If everything is Krishna, how do you keep your feet away from it? You are implying that everything is all one, there's no difference? Are you a Mayavadi? That's what Lord Chaitanya said to his mother, Sachi Devi. She found him eating dirt. And she asked, "What are you doing? You're eating dirt." And what was Lord Chaitanya's reply? He was imitating a Mayavadi. He said, "This is dirt, and then the sweets that you give me, they're also transformations of dirt, so what's the difference? It's all one." So, Sachi Devi explained to him, "We're not Mayavadis. Everything is one and different from Krishna. So, if I do like this, see? Am I hitting Krishna? This is Krishna's energy. Here's an example. Where does milk come from?
Cows.
Cows, not the shop. So the milk is actually non-different from the cow, yes? Because without the cow, milk has no existence. Right? But if you boil the milk, are you boiling the cow?
No.
That is different. So this is Krishna's energy. But if I hit this, doesn't mean I'm hitting Krishna. This is achincha bheda bheda. Inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. That is the reality. With your intelligence, you can only go one side or the other. Everything is the same as Krishna. Everything is different from Krishna. But to grasp both at the same time, that is achincha, inconceivable. You can't do it materially. Yes?
What's the difference between expansion and incarnation?
Technical. Even sometimes the terms are used interchangeably. But there's a technical difference. You want to know more of the science of the avatars, you read Laghu Bhagavatamrita. I believe. Yes, it's available. Yes, as a commentary done by Gopi Pranananda Prabhu based on Baladeva Vijayabhusan's commentary. You have read? Huh? Very informative. But you have not read all of Prabhupada's books, have you?
No.
So then. There's expansions and expansions of expansions. Even sometimes Lord Chaitanya is called an incarnation, but technically that's not so. Lord Chaitanya is Swayam Bhagavan, just as Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. When Krishna wants to taste what it's like to be a devotee in separation from him, he appears as Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya wants to taste what is it like to be the supreme enjoyer, he appears as Krishna. That is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation. They both are Swayam Bhagavan. Mahaprabhu is actually not an incarnation. We say golden avatar, but he's actually not an avatar. He's Avatari, the source of all incarnations, just as Krishna is. They both coexist at the topmost portion of the spiritual world, the Loka Vrindavan. They both exist. Coexist. Yeah?
What is the security that we go to Krishna?
If you always do what Krishna says. So much what?
So much testing our work.
But why are you working? What's the goal of your working?
I'm doing a master's. I want to pay
my fees. You want to what?
Pay my fees.
Okay, you pay your fees, okay. And then you get your master's, right? And then? Huh?
I want to do a job in the
field. You want to do a job. Why? If they don't pay you, will you still work the job? So, you are working the job to get money. Yes? Alright, so you paid your school fees, and then what? You have loans, yes? Okay, paid the loans, then what? Huh?
Nothing to
pay. Well, what will you do with the money then? Save the money. For what? To live the rest of your life. And what is the lifestyle? What is the way you're going to live the rest of your life?
24 hours service to Krishna, no one will feed us.
Huh?
No one will feed us.
No one will feed you?
No one will feed me and my family. If I do 24 hours service to Krishna.
You're certain of that. If you do 24 hours service to Krishna, your family will starve. You're sure of that. You've done research, huh?
Because I don't have money.
Huh?
Because I don't have money to support my family.
Are you sure that if you, it's guaranteed that if you do 24-hour-a-day service to Krishna, your family will stop?
Because even I sleep for Krishna.
Huh?
I sleep for Krishna. And whatever things I do for Krishna.
But there are devotees who live very simply. Even their family persons, they do full service for the temple? I haven't seen this starving. Huh?
They have enough money.
Where did it come from? They get some maintenance by the temple for living simply. And 24/7, they're doing service. They're not starving. Now, I'm not saying that you should live like that, but I'm just letting you know the possibility is there. The Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, it supports some householders who are fully engaged. But they're living simply, but they're not starving. So this notion that if I engage in Krishna service 24/7, my family will starve.
Because they don't know about Krishna.
Huh?
Because my family doesn't know about Krishna.
But you do, yes? So my point is, some or other, if you engage in Krishna's service, Krishna takes care of his devotees. Simply. So this notion that if I engage in Krishna's service, my material life will be threatened, that is not true. There has to be a balance of material and spiritual affairs. Krishna himself says in the Gita, when the balance between material and spiritual affairs is destroyed, he comes. Dharma shaglani. That means the balance between the execution of material and spiritual affairs has been disrupted. A real human society means the material affairs are executed in such a way that your spiritual life is enhanced. So you have to learn how to go to work to give Krishna to yourself, to your family. Just like here, you have this home and there's a devotee family living here. So, the husband, he goes to work, Navadvipvasi. But what is the purpose in his going to work? is to give a Krishna conscious setup for his family. So he's going to work, but he's not going to work like a fool. He's going to work to give the best, to give a Krishna conscious home to his family. So when he goes to work, he can think of Krishna. Because he's not going to work to get, he's going to work to give. By his business activity, he's able to give a Krishna conscious opportunity to his family and to invite you all over also. Bhakti involves the correct balance of material and spiritual affairs. It's not all or nothing. Everything comes from Krishna. The material energy comes from Krishna. The Krishna devotee, the bhakta, knows how to use even the temporary material world for Krishna's pleasure. It is a great science. Please learn it. Don't be afraid. Oh, if I say the Maha Mantra too much, I will lose my material abilities. Don't think like that. Like the older generation in India thinks, oh, if my son goes to Melbourne and his tongue touches the Maha Mantra once, instantly he becomes a brahmachari. Oh, no. We haven't seen this ever happen. But there's that fear. If he goes to the mandir too much, going once a year, Janmashtami, okay. But going to the mandir every week, or three times a week, oh no, for sure, he's going to become a brahmachari. Too much, his career will be finished. Yes, some of you had. Yes. That's the stereotype notion. Material affairs and spiritual affairs don't mix. Yes, they do mix because they're both coming from the same source. Krishna is the origin of everything, material and spiritual. Any questions for me?
Due to Krishna's message, we do all, we perform all the good activities, or if we perform good activities, then Krishna will show mercy.
I missed part of that.
By Krishna's mercy, we perform good activities, or by good activities, we get Krishna's mercy.
By Krishna's mercy, we get a chance to engage in devotional service. That's the only good activity. And by engaging in devotional service, we get more opportunities for Krishna's mercy. Good activities, bad activities. That's good karma, bad karma. Papa and punya. Both are activities of the prison house. The so-called good activities get you a good prison cell. The bad activities get you solitary confinement, bad prison cell. But the Krishna Bhakta doesn't want punya or papa. The Krishna Bhakta wants to give pleasure to Krishna. And that means no reactions to the work. How do we do activities that
will not have any reactions?
Will not have any reactions. That's the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna didn't want to fight because he thought, this will have a horrible reaction. It'll be bad karma, punya. I can't do it, Krishna. And what did Krishna tell him? Abandon all your conceptions of dharma and just do what I say. In other words, you do what I say, and there's no good or bad reaction. It is non-reactive work. Otherwise, yes, for every action, there's a reaction. So the lifestyle of the Krishna Bhakta is like that of a lotus flower. A lotus flower sits on the pond of the water, but The lotus flowers, the petals are not touched by the water. So the bhakta can exist within this world without being touched by this world. That is the most brilliant science of lifestyle engineering. It's the highest acquisition for you and your family. How to live in the world without being touched by the world. By engaging everything in Krishna's service. You had a question? Yes?
Yeah, I had one question. I remember when I started coming to Krishna consciousness, when I started chanting the first times in the temple room, or when I first started going for Harinam, there was so much ecstasy. And I remember first going for Harinam, the first big Harinam, we went dancing for 3 hours, and I still didn't get tired. But now, now sometimes ecstasy is still there, but I just feel out the 20 minutes of Guru Puja, I'm already exhausted.
I tired you out this morning? How old are you?
I'm 20.
20. I'm 6. Next month I'll be 66.
So
I wasn't tired.
So what can I do that Krishna doesn't turn off the ecstasy tap? So why is it that he turns it off sometimes?
Because actually, in the beginning, we don't know what ecstasy is. We should realize that we're in the recuperative stage. And once we pass through the recuperative or the therapeutic stage, then there'll be the relishing stage. In the beginning, you're just getting some premonitions. You know what a premonition is? Advance installment. Advance serving or portion. But we actually should think, I don't know what is spiritual ecstasy. But I want to give pleasure to Krishna through service. So as you become a mature devotee, we're not so concerned with our own feelings of personal happiness. We want to please Krishna and Krishna's devotee. But yes, I know. In the beginning also, I was, I want to be blissful. I want to be ecstatic. Yes, I also felt that way. But then, upon becoming to some degree purified, I began to realize, this is very selfish. I should be thinking how to give Krishna pleasure. How is Krishna appreciating my service or not? But in the beginning, yes, we want relief from the material world. And we transfer our enjoying consciousness from the party lifestyle to, now I'll serve Krishna, I'll party in that way. That's okay in the beginning. So go ahead. Yes, you can. Huh? Yes, go on, dance in ecstasy. Take prasad in ecstasy. But gradually you'll realize that the real pleasure is simply thinking how Krishna can be satisfied. Yes.
Criticize you so much that you start to feel hate for that person. How to deal with that situation?
You start to what?
Hate that person, and it disrupts your Krishna consciousness.
Yes, it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
You pray to Krishna, how can I wish the best for this person? It requires some sense control. And she gets so angry. Why are you criticizing me? Everyone knows I'm a nice person, right? Everyone knows there's nothing about me that can be criticized. How can you do this? So we are very insulted. And we want ill for that person. I wish a lightning bolt would strike you. I won't kill you, but Krishna should kill you. Right? Krishna knows that I'm good and you are bad. Now, these situations are challenges, and we have to pray to Krishna by wishing the best for even those who criticize us. It's a challenge how to make us more Krishna conscious. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to always arrange that you're around such a person. But these things happen inevitably, right? So, you take it as an opportunity to increase your Krishna consciousness. The way the world is now, it's Kali Yuga, you cannot avoid criticism. Even from your own family members, there'll be criticism. Especially from mother-in-law, right? I know. Anything else? Yeah.
How can one better understand Krishna?
Because what?
He always seems to be just out of your grasp, or like this. Out of your grasp, out of grasp.
Hmm. You can never understand Krishna fully, but you try as much as possible, but you can't understand Krishna fully. Because Krishna is always increasing. You cannot understand the holy name fully because the potency of the holy name is always increasing. But it's your duty and pleasure to try to understand Krishna as much as Krishna can be understood. But you'll never master Krishna materially. But you can conquer Krishna with your love. Otherwise, Krishna is not like some subject matter you can master. But if your love becomes so pure, Krishna will become submissive to you. He wants that. He wants to be conquered by your love. So we were speaking about the Pandavas and Kunti Devi, praying, let calamities come again and again, because when there are calamities, Krishna is with us. And when Krishna is with us, we no longer see the real calamity, which is repeated birth and death. But actually, Kunti Devi is implying that the real calamity is when Krishna is not there. When Narada Muni was searching the universe for the best devotees, you can read this in Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He went to Hanuman. He had heard Hanuman's the greatest devotee. And Hanuman said, oh, no, no, I'm not the greatest devotee. Go see the Pandavas. So when Narada Muni came to see the Pandavas running, oh, you are the greatest devotees I have heard. What did he find the Pandavas were doing? They were scheming. We have to come up with some calamity. We've heard that Krishna is going to go off somewhere. We have to manufacture some calamity so Krishna will stay with us. But how do we do that? There's no enemies. We have to come find some enemies somewhere. We have a problem. We have to concoct a calamity to avoid the real calamity of Krishna going somewhere. This is real love. Yes.
Islam considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world?
Because people don't know what real religion is.
As compared to, you know, we have so much more to offer.
As compared to what?
To the Hare Krishna movement. We have so much more to offer.
For something genuine and expensive, like a diamond, there'll be fewer buyers. Krishna consciousness means real religion. That means free of material motivation. As the second verse in Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaitavocha Paravo Namatsaranam Satam. Bhagavatam completely sweeps out, rejects any religion performed for the sake of material gain. And what is Kaitava Dharma? Cheating religion? Religion performed for any purpose other than giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality God. That means religion even performed for moksha, for liberation, is kicked out of Bhagavatam. That's how high the Bhagavatam is. There's nothing beyond Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructs, before you are liberated, read Srimad Bhagavatam, and after you are liberated, go on reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So you have to help educate the world in, as to the standard for what is real religion. Otherwise, they'll continue to be bewildered. That's why we're working so hard to introduce the knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma throughout the world, so persons can know what is the real standard of religion. Otherwise, people will criticize, like so many are. What is the use of religion in the world? What has it done? It hasn't stopped wars. It hasn't stopped environmental damage. What has it done? But they don't know what is real religion. That's the problem. So actually, in their criticisms of the religion they know, we would probably agree. Yes, we agree with your criticism. But it's just that this is not real religion. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I find very difficult to overcome the material desires. So, before doing anything, I know, I mean, not everything I know, but most of the times, I can make out, this is not right, what I am doing. But I still do that. So how to stop myself from doing such abominable acts, I would say. Because I don't feel they are right, but still I do that.
You need help and guidance. Help from the Society of Devotees and guidance from Krishna's representative. Otherwise, yes, it's very easy to become bewildered. It's very easy to do wrong things. You need a support group and you need a guide. Otherwise, to make progress in bhakti is very difficult. So you take advantage of all the facilities that the Society of Devotees is giving, and you'll be successful. Have you asked a question before? Okay.
My question is, what is the significance of family relationships with the devotees, and how one should behave with the different class of devotees?
What is the
significance of family relationships with the devotees?
Having a chance to associate with devotees is the rarest opportunity in this world. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that I don't want to take birth even as a Brahma, Lord Brahma. I'd rather take birth as an insect as long as it's in the house of a devotee. So to have the opportunity to associate with devotees is the rarest opportunity in this world. Never take it for granted. Lord Chaitanya would quote the verse that he would rather live in a cage surrounded by fire than to live amongst non-devotees. We learn how to distinguish between the different types of devotees by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It teaches us about the different levels of bhakti. Bhakti in of itself is one pure substance, but because of the bodily contaminations of the practitioners, you can say there's bhakti in the mode of passion, or bhakti in the mode of ignorance, bhakti in the mode of goodness. But actually bhakti is nothing to do with the material energy. But because of the complexities and contaminations of the practitioner, you say that, oh, this devotional service is in the mode of passion or ignorance. All right. What is the rest of the schedule tonight?
Kirtan Maharaj. Kirtan a little bit, Kirtan.
Kirtan is quite warm in here, isn't it?
Just open the door.
The neighbors will not be disturbed?
No. No, no, no issues with the neighbors.
They won't organize some petition against you? All right, if you say so. We need some air, though. We're going to have to hear some.